Making a film with Tony Blair, cried one of you. The peace process. That war criminal, give me a break. Alistair Campbell says, Reese would have negatively impacted on the Remain campaign. His credibility is completely shot. He was the head propagandist spreading the lies that led to the UK and the US invasion of Iraq. That is, he spread lies to send other people's children to war. The Brexit debacle looks like the ultimate neoliberal shock doctrine example, says Letty. And the UK, says Harry, are in this angry, shambolic situation because the Remainers have sabotaged exit negotiations for 3 years. Campbell is a main culprit, just as he was helping Blair to take the UK into the Gulf Wars. Somebody else said, is that Alistair Campbell from UB40? No, I don't think so. Nah, had to laugh out loud, says a texter. At the Leaver who contacted you to complain about Campbell, Alistair Campbell's support for the Iraq war. The Tories voted for it too. When the UK people marched against the war, do you think they were the same people who would later vote leave? Somehow I think not. And Emma says, your Canadian expert, you are referring to Alex Hutchinson, to whom we spoke just before 9 o'clock. Your Canadian expert, which she's put in inverted commas, just sounds spiteful and jealous. If it's not North, it's not valid, it seems that he's saying. Emma, I thoroughly recommend that you listen to that interview again and reassess your opinion. Lots of love for Billy Connolly coming in, needless to say. For example, I was sitting opposite Billy Connolly in a Wellington hotel lobby in the early 90s, not knowing who he was, but feeling in the presence of the Sun's closest competition. I also wanted to kiss him. But you might not want to say that on air. Over to you. No problem. And Jack Nicholson, says a listener, wore a large, ugly bandage on his nose in Chinatown. Yes, that's true. But remember that scene in the bathroom in Chinatown where Faye Dunaway was patching up Jack Nicholson's nose? Oh, here's Peter. He says, I've been listening to you from way back. 1995, Gary McCormick in your fridge. Yes. Anyway, he said the joke. Man seen carrying a long thing. Passing man says, are you a pole vaulter? No, I'm German, but how did you know my name is Volter? Best regards, Peter, dedicated listener. Not that dedicated, it seems. Lots of love and stories about Billy Connolly. I understood the phrase, says Maggie, to die laughing after one of his concerts where I laughed so hard. He looked at me with real concern. We were quite close to the stage. Loved the man. Kate says, saw Billy in a West End play in the 80s, The Beastly Beatitudes of Balthazar B. It was J.P. Donlevy, wasn't it, the ginger man? It was very funny. And at the end, he leaps out naked from a wardrobe. Saw him in New Plymouth at the Bowl and various other places. He's just great. And everybody that met him face to face has a very nice story about how pleasant and lovely and kind he was. He lavished praise on my pal's beautiful baby, says another, at Maranui Cafe when he was in town for The Hobbit. Made my day. Somebody else says, do you not find it slightly odd that to claim Kiwis, for example, Billy Connolly's wife, Pamela, who came to fame via their Australian experiences are New Zealanders. But the same accolade is not applied to New Zealand-born but Australian-domiciled folk with criminal tendencies. Just asking, says Fred. No, perfectly valid question, Fred. People are funny like that, though, aren't they? No reason for it at all. Dr. Harwood polarised you. Many say, for heaven's sake, simple, self-discipline, eat less, move more. Whereas somebody else says, as the Pākehā partner of a Māori man, I have seen the racism he faced in just going about his everyday life. There is, however, a wider problem in New Zealand with the way administrative staff and doctors, surgeries and hospitals interact with all patients. I've never found them anything but abrasive and judgmental to everyone who goes past their desks. Gosh, you must be going to the wrong doctor, I feel. I'm a nurse working in the Mid-North community. I feel despair and embarrassment that in Aotearoa, New Zealand, children live in homes with no running water, no electricity, and the DHB, local council, central government, don't act to assist and support these whānau. Referrals are made, nothing gets done, housing's a massive issue. I'm very disappointed with so many MPs from the north. It seems no change or improvement has occurred in the living conditions. Here's the news. So here's a story about what a nice guy Billy Connolly is from Anne. She says, a friend of mine was a fan of his when he first came to fame in the late 70s while OEing in Scotland. And in the early 1980s, she was back in New Zealand, age 39, and terminally ill in Christchurch Hospital. On reading in the newspaper that Billy was in town for a concert that night, my friend mentioned to her nurse that she would love to have gone to the concert if she'd been well enough. And that afternoon, she awoke from a wee snooze to find Billy sitting on the end of her bed. She said, gosh, for a moment I thought you were Billy Connolly. And he said, I am. And her nurse had contacted his agent asking if he had any spare time that day for a very ill fan. And he had popped in and had her in stitches. She died a week later. What a great guy. Here is a view, the like of which many of you have expressed in the wake of the interview with Dr. Harwood earlier this morning. This is from Sam. Access to quality health care and treatment equity, regardless of ethnicity or personal life circumstances, is of core importance to a functioning society. This said, I tire of hearing terms such as institutional racism, white privilege, discrimination and colonialism thrown around, often in part excuse for ignorance, laziness and lack of willpower at the expense of personal responsibility. Have fewer children to start with and you too could start to brighten your financial prospects, future career paths and social mobility. As to those of current and future generations of whānau, hapū and iwi. Equally, a good diet does not require a great deal of money, but being equipped with basic food science and nutritional knowledge does require a degree of education. As rapid climate change places increasing pressure on resources, makes survival truly dog-eat-dog, no doubt the nasty well-to-do Europeans will be blamed as the waters rise. We will travel a dangerous path to anarchy if we do not begin to recognise the importance of balance between access to treatment, equality for all, and personal responsibility. You know, I was reminded of a story that Greg O'Brien told in his book, Always Song in the Water. We discussed it when he was on the programme a few weeks ago. And when he had to return a pair of oars while riding pillion on a motorbike, he was made to wear a bright green plastic colander on his head, which he suggested was just to kind of look like a motorbike helmet. But I just wonder whether Greg O'Brien's been touched by the Flying Spaghetti Monster's noodly appendages. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Christos Yolkas. He wrote The Slap, you might remember. His new book is called Damascus. It's so different, I can't tell you. And Deborah Manning talks about food rescue. Also, a lady in waiting, Anne Glenconner. Enjoy the weekend.